everybody. This is Dottie Laster for Trafficked on Hear Women Talk, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network. Welcome, listeners. I see that our chat room is full. I encourage you to call others, tell your friends, phone the neighbors. You can listen by calling in at 646-652-2071. You can also chat at HERE, womentalk.com. Sign up and be a part of this amazing interactive radio station where you, the listeners, interact in all levels, chatting, calling, listening, and posting. So please join us. As I start every show, it's either a rant or a rave. Well, today it's a rant. So hold on, folks. Here we go. One of my favorite quotes that I have on my Facebook page is from Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond imagination. It is our light more than our darkness which scares us. We ask ourselves, who are we to be brilliant, beautiful, talented, and fabulous? But honestly, who are you not to be so? The reason I open this rant with that beautiful quote is in the last several cases I've worked on in the last several weeks, I have noticed that professionals, many levels, judges, mental health professionals, police, attorneys, leaders in our society have forgotten some of the critical thinking skills that we were trained with as we got our education. One thing that I just valued my master's degree and my bachelor's degree for is it showed me alternate perspectives. It showed me how to look for critical thinking skills to employ to each problem that I came across so I could find the correct solution. Not the easy one, not the normal one, not the expected one, but the correct solution. And so I am throwing out the challenge and the criticism to professionals out there now. Are you using your critical thinking skills? Are you looking at all perspectives? Are you falling in line with the tactics that traffickers are using to make you their pawn? An example is a case that has gone before a criminal court. It's very clear that the judge believes something is going on that is not consistent, but he's not looked deeper. He's only looked at the charges, and I understand the limitations. But if he understood trafficking, if he did some research, the smoke screen would be lifted off this child, and the adult exploiting him would be the one before the court. Another example, as you've heard me rant about before, a prosecutor spending 3 years charging a 13-year-old with prostitution, never looking at the adults around her who are exploiting her. So I challenge you, professionals in all these fields, law, mental health, police, look around you. You are seeing victims, and don't become a pawn to the traffickers. You are making them a lot of money and hurting the victims if you don't ask good questions. That's my rant for today. And as you can tell, my blood pressure is a bit up on this one. And I'm so thankful that we have a caller in here that can help with that. Her name is Dr. Paula Scully. She has a website called All the Rage, and I need her help now. Dr. Scully.
Hi, Dottie. Thanks for having me on here to talk about All the Rage Radio. We explore all topics around anger, rage, resentment, how to let go, how to forgive, and the health benefits for you and your family. Our focus is to help you and your kids live a happier, healthier, more spiritually connected life. That's alltheragedio.com, where you can get insight from experts in all areas of life on how anger can harm you and your family and get practical tips on what you can do about it. And, Dottie, you did an interview with me a while back that was fantastic on your family at risk. And your special report is filled with information that every parent should have on how to talk to your kids to keep them safe. So please do join us. That's alltheragedio.com. And I want to thank you again, Dottie.
Well, thank you, Paula, Paula, for calling, and I do really appreciate that I'm going to need to visit All the Rage because I'm pretty mad today. Thank you so much.
I will see you there.
Okay, have a good one. Time to take a breath, hold that thought, and say thank you for all the people that surround the work that we do, that give us tools to keep moving forward and breaking down these bureaucratic barriers that get in the way. So anyhow, that brings me to a happy point now to introduce our next guest, who is from a wonderful organization, Hosanna Broadcasting Foundation. And I met her years ago as I was assisting her to write grants to serve children that are in Ethiopia. And I am so honored and welcome to introduce Tirset Asrat from Hosanna Broadcasting Foundation.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello. I'm so glad you can be on my show. It's kind of full circle because you have a radio station as well, and I think it's kind of a serendipity that now you're on my show.
Isn't that something? Well, first of all, I want to just say thank you for inviting me, and just that's just God's way of doing things. He makes us come full circle. You know, you helped me with my radio station, with writing grants for the humanitarian work we do. And it's amazing now you have your own show, and here I am.
Well, I appreciate it. I know you're very busy and that you've taken time out of your schedule to be with us. Could you, just in a few words, tell us about your station, and then we'll ask about the foundation.
Well, the station is called Hosanna Broadcasting Network. We are a Christian organization. We call it the Voice of Jesus Christ, as you know. And we broadcast the gospel as well as health and educational programs to literally two-thirds of the world's population using satellite radio. And we've been doing this since 2007. And now God is doing a wonderful thing in our lives. Actually, tomorrow we have a ribbon-cutting ceremony for our television station. We just finished building a beautiful studio. We are going to be on television here in the U.S. 45 to 60 days from now. You know, we're working on it. We're putting it together. And I'm just amazed, again, at what God is doing. Our radio station touches a whole lot of people's lives. It really brings information to the rural parts of Africa. You know, most people in Africa, as you probably know, are still in dark ages. They don't get information. They don't have, you know, knowledge, awareness. So our job is to bring that knowledge and awareness from the Christian perspective as well as from, you know, the secular side. So that's what we do. That's what our radio is all about.
You know, when I first met you, I was really interested to know that there's such simple information that's unavailable to some parts of the world, such as things as simple as hand washing and simple information that we take for granted that maybe we learned as we went to grade school. And that's part of what the foundation is also trying to help with. Is that correct?
Yes. You know, the one rural part of Africa that we're working with the children right now, I found out the infant mortality in that area is really, really high. It's literally number one, number two in the whole of Africa. And the reason is that the water they drink is really dirty water from a lake that they use to wash their clothes, to bathe, to drink, to do everything and anything under the sun. And there's so much bacteria in that water. And they take that water and they give it to their infants. And the infant's, you know, stomach, intestine cannot handle the bacteria, so they die. And simple education as, like, you take the water and you boil it. Just like you said, this is something we learned in grade school. And not having that information, they are losing lives on every single day. So, you know, my call and my vision is to be able to educate. Because that's the best gift you can give them. We can raise money, we can go there, we can give them food, we can pass out Bible, we can do this and that. the bottom line is, if you don't set them free, if you don't educate them, if you don't make them become, you know, fish for themselves rather than you fish and you feed them, then, you know, you have not done your job. So our whole vision is based on educating and informing. So, you know, that's where I get excited about this radio station and as well as the television now.
And part of what we've worked on, you have a shelter there that protects and is a place of last resort for children.
Yes.
Who have lost either one or both parents due to AIDS. And so as our show's about trafficking, I wanted to really focus on how important your work is. And if those children were not under your care, what would be waiting for them?
You know, most of the children that we get from the street, we take them when they're 7 and 8 years old and we raise them. And these children have already been abused, Daddy. They've been raped, they've been beaten up, they've been used as literally servants and slaves in the home to cook. Imagine a seven-year-old cooking and serving and cleaning somebody's house. That's slavery, you know, at its best. So they run away, and then, you know, they go on the streets, we find them on the streets. And some of them, we literally get them out of, you know, people who are slaving them, their homes, and then we take them. And when they come to us, it's a safe haven, but if they were not with us, they would have ended up being somebody's slave, either to cook or to clean or to for sex. So go ahead.
Let's hold that thought right there as we go into our break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about the upside of what you've done to protect these children. This is Dottie Laster for Trafficked. Welcome back, everyone, to Trafficked with Dottie Laster on Hear Women Talk Radio, produced by Zeus Networks. Well, that's a mouthful. I love saying Zeus Network. Anyhow, we are speaking to Tersette Azrat. She is the CEO and founder of Hosanna Broadcasting Foundation. Her work is centered both in Los Angeles with her radio station, but her charitable work is focused on Ethiopia, where she provides a safe haven for children who are orphans due to AIDS in that country. She was explaining that if there is no place to go for them, or actually even before she meets them, they have been enslaved in homes to do work, cooking, maybe even forced into sex and other types of exploitation. And when they escape, there's not so much of a child protective service system there that we're used to, and she is a place of last resort for them. So let's pick up where we left off, Tersette. You were explaining that the children who've escaped wind up under your care, and what are the great things you were able to do for them?
Well, the great thing is, first of all, providing a roof over their head, the food, the schooling, everything and anything that they need, they get it. And most of all, they get so much love from us, from the people who are working at the center, and knowing that somebody cares for them, somebody loves them, and they are provided for all their needs is what we're doing. And we focus on education. And I have really beautiful, bright children. They, ever since they've come to the center, you can see they have flourished, they have changed. That fear that was in them, that rejection that was in them, is not there anymore. So they're able to excel in their school. They're able to do what they do. And I want to add to this, Daddy. You asked me earlier what would happen if these kids were on the streets. These are only a few kids out of thousands and thousands and thousands that are on the streets that need help. We're able to take only a few. I have 120 children that I care for. But on the streets, there are many, 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 many thousands of children that break my heart, because every time I go, they know that I came from America, and they line up and they say, "Mommy, take me in. Mommy, take me." But I don't have the room to take everybody in. So this is the saddest part for me, you know, that to turn down a child that I'm not able to take care of.
Yes, I understand. And we've had many conversations, both late at night and during the day, about how to solve this. And you're right, for a child there, There is no good reason to say I can't take you, but of course there's limits. And we wrote about your soccer program is a method of prevention. Can you tell a bit about that?
Yes, the soccer program is a little bit different because the children, they have parents, but their parents are very, very poor. They're extremely poor. They live in a little hut, in a little shack, where there literally is no roof. When it rains in the shack. And in that little small room, maybe 30 by 30 is the size, about 5, 6, 7 people live, the father and mother and about 3, 4 children. And the custom is when children grow up to be 7 and 8 years old, they go out to the field to either work with their father or tend the sheep and the goat and the cattle, or stay home and cook with their mother to help. And there's no plan for education. There's no opportunity for education. So what we do is we have them come, we send them to school. We have them sign an agreement to go to school. We have the parents sign an agreement to send their children to school. And once they sign that agreement, they are under our care. They come to us after school every day for 6 days. 3 days a week, we have them play soccer. We use soccer as a caveat. You have to give them something attractive to come because this kids, they don't know education, so they don't care education. So 3 days a week, we have them play soccer, and 3 days a week, we give them after school tutorial. We directly communicate with the school. We make sure they go to school. We make sure they do their work. We make sure that when they come to us 6 days a week, they get after-school snack, we buy their clothes, we buy all their school material, the soccer gear, whatever they need, we do, except they don't live with us, they live with their parents, and which is really important to have that relationship with their parents. So we keep that going, but we take care of every need that they have.
I think that's really great that you've made a holistic approach to this problem where it's not just reacting to the problem, but also attempting to educate and direct the kids so at least while they're still with their parents and maybe at risk, that you can also prevent some of this exploitation that occurs. And
it's about the love of God that is in us. When Jesus was on earth, he gave us the commandments: love one another, take care of the poor and the orphans. And we have to do that. We must do that. So everything that we do is based on the 2 commandments, to love and to care for those who are needy. And so that's what we do.
I also was, when I was writing grants for you, we were working to get a plan drawn up to get radios. There are radios that don't require electricity into some of these remote areas. And you were telling me it's so sad because, as we started with, the lack of information is very simple. And so getting word about, to be aware of people promising jobs like this and to be aware of people who are promising your children an education outside of your country. And so explain the radio program.
Well, the radio program is what we want to do is be able to take one radio and place it in a village, where like 10, 15 people can gather and listen to the radio and center that radio program on education and information and awareness to change the lives of those people. See, for instance, in Ethiopia, the land is very fertile, but the people do not know how to use irrigation to plant throughout the year. So they depend on the rain to come. And sometimes the rain doesn't come for the whole year. It's very minimum rain. But if you dig down under the ground, there's water. So all they have to do is we teach them how to dig for water, use irrigation. So this is the type of education we want to disseminate in the radio. Because, once we empower them by knowledge, by awareness, by education, then they can go out and they will be able to plant 3 times a year, 4 times a year, rather than just waiting for the rainy season that comes once a year. And it may not even be enough to give them enough crop to survive. So that's why they face starvation. That's why they face, all this disease, like HIV AIDS is literally wiping out people, in countries like Ethiopia. But giving them the awareness of what HIV/AIDS is and how to prevent yourself from contracting the virus and what do you do after you contract the virus. These are key information. And even about trafficking, you know, people go from the city to the country, to the villages, they steal kids and they bring them to the city to sell them, to use them. So these things, like if parents have the awareness of what trafficking means, then they will watch out for their children, and harm will not come to them. So these are the type of education that distributing radio to these rural parts, which is radio's the cheapest, they say it's the poor man's medium. It's the cheapest thing we can give them. They cannot read, they cannot write, so you can give them books. And they cannot afford television. And so you have to give them something that they can afford. And you give them as a gift. They listen to it and they benefit from it. So that's the program.
You know, even years ago when I was first working on trafficking, we were brainstorming about how to reach victims. And one of the things we came up with is that no matter what your situation is, even in poverty situations, radio is an excellent mechanism to reach victims. And our radio show proved this in the last couple of weeks, as our radio did actually reach someone who was listening, and we're going to talk about that in the second half hour, of how radio saved this person. And what you're saying is so true, and yet we take it for granted in the United States how powerful radio can be. And I just commend you on your efforts and your use of radio. And I'm so glad you joined up with us and that have guided me so that I can use radio. Mm-hmm. We have just a couple of minutes, but what I would like to do is have you talk about your fundraising event. As we had questions, how do you get money? And I typed back some of them, but you have an upcoming event. Can you, in a couple of minutes, tell us about it?
Yes, our upcoming event is called Blessing Africa, Sharing Agape Moments. It is going to be at the Four Point Sheraton by the airport in Los Angeles. And we do this every year. This is our sixth year. We try to raise at least the budget that we need to run this program for the children. We've never made the budget. We've never, you know, raised the budget. But whatever we raise, it just goes directly to the children. It there's no administrative cost. There's nothing that comes out of it, because, you know, Hosanna Radio provides for what we do, so we don't have to really charge anything that comes. Whatever is given to the children goes to the children. So this event is actually African food, African music, African fashion show, and we have silent auction, live auction. So it's going to be very exciting. We invite, if you have listeners in the Los Angeles area, to come and support us. And for those who don't live in Los Angeles area, you can still support by simply contacting our ministry.
And can you give us a phone number or website where they can get more information about this?
Yes, the phone number is 310-348-9188. 310-348-9188. The website is HBN@HosannaBroadcasting.com.
I'm putting this in our chat room right now. And do you have any final thoughts before we let you go to your busy day?
Well, the final thought is that everything we do is motivated by love. And I just pray that our listeners, you listeners, will have the love of God in their hearts to be able to do something good for those who are needy. It doesn't have to be through our ministry, however way they do it. There are a lot of needy people in the U.S. There are needy people all over the world. There are more needy people than independent, you know, people. So we just need to pray about, how do I help somebody that's in need today? How do I share the love of God that's in me? And that's all that I want to do. I want to say, because what we do is based on and motivated on love, loving those who are in need.
Well, thank you so much. And I have a couple of questions. And I think you can probably answer them briefly. There was a question about, do you do income generating projects with the the children to get them trained into entrepreneurial work? And then the second question is, do you match widows with orphans?
Say it again. What's the second question?
Do you match widows with orphans?
No, we don't match widows with orphans. We have not even thought about it, and I don't even know where to begin. But for the first question, we are, as we speak, looking into different projects to do in Ethiopia that will create financial independence in the areas that we serve. One of the projects is we want to start dairy farming and vegetable farming projects, because the country exports milk from outside, from Middle East, but yet they have more than enough cattle. They're the number one cattle producing country in Africa. That's Ethiopia, but they don't do it properly, so they bring milk from outside. So if we start dairy farming, if we start vegetable farming, and then from there we can just go to other ideas and other things. That's what we're focusing on and trying to also raise money. We have proposals circulated all over, trying to find some kind of investor for us to help us to start this project. The other project we want to implement next year is to train women on how to sew clothing, how to design, how to sew. And I'm talking to a couple of designers, and I'm believing if they can start sewing some things and we bring it to the U.S. and maybe show it to Walmart and all these other big stores, they may be able to order this clothes, levels cheap, materials cheap in Ethiopia, so you sell that clothes really cheap here, through this big department stores. Huh? Say it again?
I said, that sounds so amazing, and I hope we can follow up as you make progress on these great great ideas for projects to build the community around the places you're helping. Thank you so much, and we'll have you again soon, and I hope you have a wonderful, blessed day. This is Dottie Laster.
Thank you, too, and remain blessed. Thank you.
This is Dottie Laster for Trafficked. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to Trafficked on Hear Women Talk, produced by the Zeus Radio Network. Well, we're moving from Ethiopia towards California with a quick stop off in West Virginia, where we have a caller. Our caller is Justin Harvey. Hi, Justin.
Hello, Dottie. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Thank you so much for taking time to call in. And I really appreciate that you've been a great listener of our show and have interacted on the social networking sites as well.
Absolutely. I support you 100% in what you're doing with trafficking and what you can do to stop it. So.
Well, thank you. I know a bit about your background. Some of our cases involved the disabled, and especially I've worked some of those cases involving victims with mental disabilities, and it really gets me upset and angered. What's your take on that?
It gets me angered too, because a lot of disabled individuals are more vulnerable, and it's not like they can easily protect themselves. So it really gets me very, very steamed. So,
well, I appreciate you supporting us, and I look forward to helping however I can and collaborating with you to get more awareness out about that, and that, the disabled are a highly targeted population for this particular crime.
Absolutely. That's why I think, like, our court system should hold, like, disabled individuals to a higher standard, since they can't protect themselves. They need some sort of, justice in this world. So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in and your comments, and thank you for listening to Trafficked.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate the comments from the listeners and the audience and their ideas and suggestions. That's how we get good at what we do here. So kudos to Justin, and I hope we get more like him that join our efforts. So as I promised, we're moving from Ethiopia towards California. I am so pleased and honored to introduce a colleague who over the years has become a friend. And she has done some amazing things in the work of private investigation. The reason that we stay connected is when I need something quick, fast, and in a hurry, and I have a small amount of information, she's the first one on my speed dial. And as I've spoken about, we are going to continue now with the story of Lisbeth and how she was rescued. So let me take a breath, and we'll get focused here. As we talked about and led into last week, due to someone listening to our radio station, she identified herself as someone in need of help. She reached out and gave us just enough information that we could begin assembling a team to give her the assistance she requested. And my first call after receiving the direct communication from the woman asking for help was to Vicki Seidel. She's a leader of Female Legal Investigative Professionals. And so I'd like to introduce her now, Vicki.
Hi, Dottie. How are you?
I am just fine. So glad to have you on the phone. I know it's earlier where you are.
Yes. Yes, we're doing good, though.
Well, great. Can you explain to me just briefly how female, or to our listeners, how Female Legal Investigative Professionals works?
Okay. Female Legal and Investigative Professionals, we call it FLIP for short. It started out as a networking thing for lady PIs, basically, because there were, back in the day, the boys used to give us a little bit of trouble when we got into the Yahoo groups and the chat rooms and so forth. So we decided I decided that we needed a place that we could just kind of hang out and be gals and do our own networking. What evolved, however, was that being women, we keep fixing things for people and rescuing people, and it evolved that we started finding missing children and solving cold cases and that sort of thing. We'd give a shout-out on the list and say, hey, there's a kid missing, and I think they're headed for Montana. Who have we got in Montana? And then we'd all jump in our cars and go out looking or whatever was needed.
So this evolved from this idea to where you actually had a TV show that appears on Women's Entertainment Network to where you and I have actually worked, along with other people, multiple cases. I usually get called in if you think there's a trafficking approach.
Absolutely, and I've done Dottie's trafficking training, which was fantastic, so I've gotten to be fairly good at dealing with that myself. But yeah, we had a television show that was made, it was just an hour special done showing some of the cases that we had worked and having several of the members on the show. And actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think one of the most important things that FLIP does is it's extremely empowering, and it's a very good example of how a few people doing just a little bit but working together can create a huge difference. Because when I was asked to do that show, we chose a couple of cases. The producer, I was an associate producer on it, the executive producer and I went over several cases that we had done, and chose a couple, and I called up the ladies who had helped on those particular cases, and every single one of them said, well, why do you want me in it? I only just helped a little bit. And I think that's really the point of the whole thing. We all just did a little bit, and then working together, we saved lives. And it's a wonderful thing. It's very empowering, and I think that it's a good lesson for all of the listeners. It doesn't take a whole lot to make a big difference.
You're absolutely correct. And so when I called you that day that said we had verified there's an adult woman needing to leave what she felt was an abusive situation, we got on the FLIP group and found someone who could assist us.
Yeah, actually, we have one of the things I have for FLIP is a website, which is flipmysteriesplural.tv. And on that site, on the About FLIP page, there's a map. And not everyone's on the map, but those who members of the group who have asked to be put on the map are on there, and there's also links to several of their business websites. And so I jumped on the flip map, and I looked to see who was nearby and what particular talents each particular lady has, because on flip we have attorneys and cops and bail skip girls and repo girls and cadaver dog girls, you name it. So we needed someone who had the particular talents that were required for this situation. And so we chose Jennifer, who did a bang-up job, and she was amazing. I called her, and I don't actually think I'd ever even spoken to her on the phone before, but I called her, and I said, okay, this is what we need. And she goes, well, I don't have time to change. I'm jumping in the car, and that was it.
You know, I always joke when I know I have someone that's going to help, but the first thing is that they answer their phone, and I kid her now. I go, God, you answered your phone, and that's the beginning of knowing you've got a team member. Just to back up a bit, when I got that call, and as soon as I hung up with the woman, I called you, and we did some background just with a small amount of information we had. Can you elaborate a little bit about what we did and then how we move forward?
Yeah, actually, I think it was actually important because first we have to be sure that we have someone who really is a victim, and we have to verify their story to you know, reasonable degree of certainty before we just go launch. We had very little information, but very fortunate as a licensed investigator, I have access to certain databases that are not, you know, the general public sort of thing, and thank God they keep trying to take away our ability to view social security numbers and so forth, but thank God we still have that because I was able to confirm with the small bit of information that we had, I was able to confirm addresses and names and so forth that actually bore some scrutiny, and we were able to confirm that those were correct and accurate. And actually by the time we were given the address to retrieve our victim, I already actually had the address in hand, and she simply confirmed it.
Yeah, I think that was great. Like you said, we were all working as a team, even including the woman asking for help. And we kind of have this idea that if you have someone that's a suspected bad guy, you're going to find other indicators around them that confirm that. And so we're going to go to break now, but I just wanted to make leave people hanging because I want them to come back and hear what we did with that small amount of information that kept building by minutes and minutes and how it culminated in a rescue. This is Dottie Lasta for Trafficked. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to Trafficked on Hear Women Talk Radio, produced by the Zeus Network. We are on the phone with Vicki Seidel of Female Legal Investigative Professionals, or FLIP for short. That is a mouthful. We had left her, she was reliving the story about how we assisted a listener to Trafficked escape an abusive situation. We were talking about, Vicki, how we did, or you did, I called you, we had a bit of information, and then you gathered information surrounding the home and the person that the victim was afraid of, and what did you come up with?
Well, it was actually quite interesting because I've learned through many, many years of doing this, there's sort of certain profiles that you see when people are up to illegal activities, and in this case, it appears to me that there's quite a bit going on with these individuals, in particular the one main person. Just an absence of history that is accurate and consistent, I'm seeing that there are some pretty clear indicators, in my estimation, of additional criminal activity that I am continuing to look into on the part of, you know, this individual or this group of individuals. I don't want to really get into heavy details because I don't want to, it's sort of an ongoing investigation, but it's great that we can take a look with the databases that we have and we can see, hey, you know, this person really is up to something, and we can then, you know, flesh that out and call in authorities as needed.
So then what you did is, as you said, we identified someone who was a licensed investigator who assisted us in meeting at a neutral location. The victim was on the phone with me and through chat. She felt most secure communicating by chat, but I urged her a couple of times to get a phone so I could clarify and hear her voice and understand and explain. And so by the time we were able to locate someone, I had arranged for her to meet outside her home at a designated time, and we were down to minutes of finding someone. We had called everywhere from nonprofit agencies to hotline numbers dedicated to trafficking to other licensed professionals, and you found the person that answered their phone and said, yes, I'm jumping in the car. And tell us about that, and then we're going to get her on the phone.
Well, she was fantastic. Actually, I think, Dottie, I think you had already started looking for some people, and we jumped onto the flip map, and we looked around, and there were some people that seemed to be closer, but, you know, this particular individual seemed to have the talents that we needed for this particular job. She was fantastic. She just said, well, don't have time to change clothes. Let me make a call, get somebody to pick my kid up, and I'm hopping in the car. And she barreled down the road and did a fantastic job. She was on the phone with me a good chunk of the way, and I was on the phone with you and with a couple of police departments, and we had some rather controlled chaos for a little while.
But yeah, I love that controlled
chaos. Job. I'm really proud of her.
Yes.
it was exciting.
Jennifer Kiesling of Hawk Investigative Services, welcome.
Hello.
Well, we teased our audience last week because we left you in mid-sentence, and we've got just a few minutes, so I want to wrap up what your part was. You're on the phone with all of us. We've got the controlled chaos. We've let police know that you're going to pick someone up, and you would like to have them meet you there to keep the peace. Tell us what you saw when you got there.
Controlled chaos. I like that. And thank you, Vicki, for those words. That was really nice. I arrived, well, the location changed twice, I believe. So when I arrived to the meeting place, I ID'd our girl, our victim, and I was also told during the trip on the way out there that there was going to possibly be another woman with her. When I arrived, there were actually three people with her, three of the traffickers, I would call them. They were extremely threatening. They had threatening looks about them. They looked very suspicious. I drove past. I parked the car. Lizbeth came up to the passenger side door and just kind of looked at me. She looked very scared. She was shaken. And the woman that was with her came up to the driver's side door and just stared at me. Just glared at me. So I pretended like I was on the phone with a girlfriend, laughing, trying to put that woman at ease. Meanwhile, turned to Elizabeth and mouthed the word, get into the car. And she quickly climbed in with her pet. First thing that she said to me was, if I didn't get in the car at this moment, I don't think I ever would have gotten out. And with that, you know, I put the car in reverse. I don't know where the woman went that was staring at us, but she... For a moment, I thought she might have been behind my car, maybe laying down to stop me. I didn't see her standing in the rearview mirror, so I put it in reverse and decided that the way I came in, I couldn't go back out that way because the traffickers were all blocking the road, the pathway. So we had to go over a curb and, you know, go in four-wheel drive, get out onto the street, stop some traffic, and made our way to the airport. It was a very intense situation.
So
Jennifer,
I
have to say it was very. I just wanted to say it was very funny because Jennifer's. I'm on the phone with the police, and Jennifer's going, "Okay, I can see the police coming, and please let them know that I am in control. I am not driving up over the curb here because I'm drunk or anything. I'm just doing it to escape the traffickers. Please, don't need them to come help me right now. I just need them to not pull me over for going over the curb."
So it's so amazing all the fine details that we were able to communicate with each other in the controlled chaos that we're able to let this woman make her destination. The funny thing was that The plane was leaving within moments. Thanks to our station, we had an awaiting ticket waiting for her, and we were also running out of time to get her to the airport. So I can't describe the thousand details that went into this. Words don't actually, there's no words to portray it, but it all worked. And it worked because Jennifer was there at the right moment doing exactly what was needed. Jennifer, also tell me, we just have a couple of minutes left, but what were the first things that she said to you? She did say, I knew if I didn't leave now, I'd never get to leave. What was after that? Because I think you had some great conversation there.
Yeah, it was a short trip to the airport. But during that short trip, she handed me, she told me she had something to give me, and she said, I don't want to scare you when I take it out. And she took a razor out. I found out that she cuts herself, as I found out many of these victims do that.
And what did she look like?
She couldn't.
What did she look like? Yeah, you described some wounds on her. What did she look like?
She is a beautiful girl, a beautiful, strong woman, and her arms were just all sliced up very badly. I mean, from the
very
shoulders all the way to her wrist.
Yeah.
And
so
she handed me.
We have just a minute and a half before we lose you. So she was injured, traumatized. You got her to the airport. She trusted you with.
Yes, she trusted me. She handed over the razor to me, got her to the airport. I told her she wasn't going to need that anymore where she's going. We got her pet on board with her, and I watched her go through security.
That's amazing. And then we later verified she was on the plane and that she did reach her destination, the destination she had told us she wanted to get to. She has a team of all kinds of health, all different aspects of health professionals that are attending to her needs. And she has said thank you every day. It's been 13 days now. She said thank you, thank you, thank you. And she was so worried about Jennifer, she asked if Jennifer was okay.
Yeah, and I have to give a shout out for the airport's, the airline security. They were fantastic. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm so sorry to cut us to the end, girls. We are within the last few minutes. And I want to say kudos, high fives. Thank you, Flip, Vicki, Jennifer, Hear Women Talk Radio, and many other people out there that we haven't been able to name yet. But I can't, if I were to put a number of people that helped us in this, it would be dozens. This was a team of heroes. And and we have a successful, happy outcome. Thank you so much. I always
thank
like
you.
To thank you, and again, Hawk Investigative Services and Vicki at VickiPI.com. And I really hope you, our listeners, can give them kudos, a shout out, a high five, whatever you'd like to do. They were really instrumental. I like to end our show each week with a happy story. Usually it's just a few minutes, but I believe this one was the whole second half hour. And I just want to let everyone know I've received daily reports on the victim from all the professionals surrounding her. She is amazing. I do believe she will be okay in some time. But I just want to reiterate the power of radio, and especially the radio we have now, interactive radio. Interactive meaning chatting, phone calls, listening, posting, a community that can, the listeners can communicate with each other. It's not isolated like it is on broadcast radio. So this was the goal of our show when we started, was to help victims. Now we've proven that it's possible, and I expect it will happen again. So I would like to give a hearty high five congratulations to everyone who became involved in this. A small break just to take a breath and say thank you to listeners. next week we have an amazing, amazing guest from Texas Monthly Magazine, Mimi Schwartz, and she is going to talk about an article that she wrote called The Lost Girls. So tune in next week, Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Hear Women Talk Radio, produced by the Zeus Radio Network. Until next week, this is Dottie.